Well, we've been teaching on prayer, how to get your prayers answered. Some things about how not to get your prayers answered. We want to just know that so we don't do it. But I was coming to work this morning. I just found myself singing a little song. I hadn't even thought about it. I hadn't sung it in a long time about my God can do anything. Anything, anything. My God can do anything. Over the last couple of days, I was seeking out some things from the Lord, and it seemed like He impressed on me to turn to a couple of scriptures in the book of Psalms. And when I read them, a couple of different Psalms that I felt like I was supposed to read. And both of them kind of dealt with the same issue, but I didn't see what had anything to do with my problem. But it was just talking about how mighty and great God was, and He created the universe and hung the moon and the stars and all this. And it wasn't addressing my problem in particular. And it wasn't until then I began to see some things start unfolding that I said, you know what? God was just showing me His majesty. He was just showing me whatever the problem is. All you had to do is understand how big I am. But you know, the way we release that ability of God, He's able to do anything, and the way we release that ability is through prayer. And I've said it several times in here. John Wesley, it was, that said, it seems that God can do nothing on the earth except first someone here pray and let Him do it. And so it's important to pray, and it's important to know how to pray. Amen? All right. Now, as we've started talking about praying, and last week I started a message I called the prayer that changes things. You know, we see the bumper sticker says prayer changes things, but I found out some people's prayers change more than other people's prayers. I found out sometimes my prayers change more than some of them other prayers I prayed. And the difference is you have to learn how to pray. And when you pray right, I'll tell you what, things will go right. But as we find out things, praying the prayer that changes things, and I'm continuing this tonight, the first thing we found out is you have to pray in accordance with God's will. 1 John 5:14 tells us that anything we ask in accordance with God's will, this is the confidence we have. If we ask anything in accordance with the will of God, we know that He hears us. Next verse says, and if we know that He hears us, when you pray, are you conscious that God is hearing you? If we know that He hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we made of Him. And so we see there it's keyed to praying something in accordance with God's will. Well, how do we know the will of God? Main way we find out the will of God is what? Look in the Word. Because this is His will in writing. And if it's in the Word, it's in His will. And another thing, but this is really in the Word too, but we look at the life of Jesus, because in the Gospels, we're still reading the Word, but as we look at the life of Jesus, He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, my will and the Father's are one. And so, if we see what Jesus is doing, we know that's the will of God. And you read the four Gospels, you can't find Jesus ever making anybody sick. All you can find Jesus want to do is bless people and help them and heal them and so forth. Well, he's showing us, he's demonstrating to us the will of God. And so if you know the Father by getting to know Jesus, that's the only way you're going to get to know the Father is through Jesus. That's the only way you can approach Father God. And then as you study the Word of God and get the will of God down in your heart, the Word of God in your heart, you will begin to pray prayers that are in accordance with the will of God. Last week we began to get into the second part. First thing is, you have to pray in God's will. How to pray the prayer that changes things. Number one, you have to pray in God's will. Next thing, I started on this at the end of the message last week, is you have to pray in faith. And you know, without faith, I'm still reviewing, without faith it's impossible to please God. Where is that found? Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. Verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that would come to God must believe that He is, and you must believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's some things you must believe if you want to please God. See, like most folks, now you ask people that go to any kind of church, any kind of Christian church that's really, you know, believes that the Bible is the Word of God, if a person wants to get saved, is there something they have to do, or can they just kind of hang around and if it's God's will to save them, He'll save them? Well, no, if you want to get saved, you have to make a confession of your faith and accept Jesus as your Lord. You need to be baptized, and some add a little bit different things to it, but they all believe, everybody believes that there's some things you have to believe if you want to get saved. You can turn around and ask the same people. Now, that word for salvation and saved, it means healing and deliverance, just like it means getting your sins forgiven and going to heaven. But you can ask the same folks, well, is there anything you have to believe, anything particular you must believe in order to get healed? Oh, no, that's just if God wants to heal you, He'll heal you. But now, see, that's part of salvation, and the same rules apply. But the way you get in there is begin to learn the will of God. And when you find out, I thank God for the day I found out it's God's will to heal me. Every time I'm sick, found out it was God's will. Because otherwise, you can't really be in faith. You can't get in faith till you know it's the will of God. If I thought that God wanted me sick so He could teach me something, it would be impossible for me to exercise any faith for Him to heal me. Because faith is believing what God said. And if I thought God said, I want you sick, boy, that's all I could have faith for is being sick. All right? So you have to know the will of God, pray in the will of God. You have to pray in faith. James chapter 5, let's look at that. I think I talked about it last week, but James chapter 5. James 5. And you know, James is right after the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. And verse 14. We talked about this a good bit. I don't know that we even turned to it in the Bible, but... Well, I tell you, I just as well read verse 13 while we're at it. It says, is any among you afflicted? It says, let him pray. What does that mean? That means you got problems, you need to pray. You have problems, you need to pray. But when you pray, you need to find out what the will of God is and pray according to the will of God and pray in faith. And when you pray, you have to know that God is hearing you because you're praying His will. And when the Bible says when you know that He hears you, you're going to have the answer that you're asking for. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any among you merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Once again, prayer is the answer to the problem. Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We're going to get in a minute about praying in the name of Jesus. This prayer that's prayed over you when you're sick and you're anointed with oil, it's a prayer of faith. Let him pray the prayer of faith, and it's prayed in the name of Jesus. And it says, and the prayer of faith, there's the prayer of faith, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, isn't that simple? I mean, about an 8 or 9 year old kid wouldn't have any trouble at all understanding that. But there's a lot of folks been to seminary can't understand that. That's hermeneutically and homologically and all that. It don't mean exactly. Well, listen, all I know, I just read what it says in the Bible. And my Bible says, and if there's any Christian people that are sick, what they ought to do is to get the elders of the church to anoint them with oil and pray for them in the name of the Lord Jesus and pray a prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord raise them up. Most people go to church, that's not what comes to their mind when they get sick. Now this is not the only way for you to receive healing. You know, if you get sick tonight after you get home, well, don't wait till Sunday to get me to anoint you with oil. Go to 16th chapter of Mark. Believers, lay hands on the sick. Turn to your wife or husband there beside you and say, hey, you a believer. Put your hands on me and pray for me. See? So this isn't the only way, but I'm saying, you know, if you do bring that sick to church with you, well, and some people, you know, well, I couldn't come to church tonight because I was feeling bad. You've never felt too bad to go to the doctor's office. If you really believe there's healing up here, you sure wouldn't let feeling bad keep you home. All right? Prayer of faith. We're talking about, you want to pray the prayer that changes things? You have to pray in the will of God. Next thing, you have to pray in faith. Now, we're just right here at it. I want you to look in 1 Peter chapter 1. You're probably on the right page already. I am. And 1 Peter chapter 1. And starting at the third verse, and I'm going to show you in this what faith looks like. You see, we said you have to pray in faith. Everybody doesn't even recognize faith when they saw it. But it says in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I tell you, one reason we got hope, the grave couldn't hold Jesus. And I'll tell you something else. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Right? See, Jesus showed me what's going to happen. And so, we don't have to fear death. You say, "Well, I got a little apprehension about it." Well, that's all right, because God will give you grace to die when it's time to die. You know? But right now, He's giving you grace to live. I talked about that the other week. But then it says in verse 4, it says, "To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." How many believe that you got an inheritance reserved in heaven for you? But now the thing is, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to get there. You don't have to die to claim your inheritance. You know, if your daddy left you an inheritance, if your father had in his will, your earthly father had in his will that he left you $100,000 in his will, when do you get the $100,000? When you die? You get it when your daddy dies, right? All right, now at the beginning of my New Testament here in my Bible, it says the last will and testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when do I get the inheritance? Not when I die, I got it when He died. See, I'm an heir. I'm an heir. I got it when He died. And then not only that, the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus was so intent on seeing that we got what was rightfully ours that He then wouldn't stay in the grave. He came out of the grave and came back to be the executor of His own will to make sure they carried it out like He wanted it carried out. But you know something? If you don't ever go claim the inheritance, you won't get it. Even though everything's been done, all the paperwork's done, and the price has been paid, if you don't go claim the inheritance. And so we have an inheritance. Verse 4. Verse 5 says, "Who are kept," incidentally in Ephesians chapter 1, it says there's been laid up for you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's that inheritance. It's laid up there for you. Not from you, for you. Verse 5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." This inheritance is kept by the power of God through faith. Now faith is my part. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Wherein, verse 6, "wherein ye greatly rejoice." Now, tune in to this verse 6 in particular, in verse 7. We're talking about what faith looks like. You have to pray in faith. You want to pray a prayer that changes things? You have to pray in faith. I'm fixing to tell you what faith looks like so you'll know if you're praying in faith or not. A lot of people miss it right here. A lot of people that go to a faith church and think they're full of faith, miss it right here. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations." That word temptations means temptations, testings, and trials. We might just say problems. Manifold means many of them. All right? It says, "Wherein you do greatly rejoice." Not just rejoice, greatly rejoice. That's that jumping up and down and happy rejoicing. "Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation." But verse 6 is saying, even when you've got a lot of problems, if you've got faith in the promise of God that the inheritance is laid up for you in heaven and you have access to it, and that Jesus, even death couldn't hold Him down, so what in the world's going to keep you down? If you've got that kind of faith, you'll rejoice even in the middle of all these problems you're having. Greatly rejoice. Now that's how you recognize faith. See, a lot of people talk faith and they talk about, well, praise, but they're crying at the same time. "Well, I believe God's going to do that." No. Now sometimes you can cry tears of joy. But the thing about it is, you see, if I didn't have money to pay some bill that was coming due tomorrow, but at 4 o'clock this afternoon, William had told me said, Jim, I got the money. I'm gonna let you have the money. You need $400 tomorrow. He's got it. Mr. Big Bucks here. He said, I'm going to put it under the offering plate here. When you need it, just get it. What am I going to do? If I believe it, I saw him put it under there. Even if I didn't see him, if he told me he did it, and I believe him, what am I going to do? Stand here about 3 feet from the offering plate and say, well, I'm believing that somebody's, William, going to take care of the bill tomorrow, and crying, tears run down, dripping off my cheek. No. I'm going to say, glory to God, the car payment is made. Money's right there. All I got to do is reach out and get it. Now, see, I'm telling you what faith looks like. If you want to pray the prayer that changes things, you have to pray in faith. And faith means you rejoice even when the ceiling is falling in on you. When the problems come, you just say, well, glory to God. I have a God that's bigger than the problem. Now, I don't know if y'all noticed it or not, but all Holy Ghost-filled, Word-filled Christians don't act like that. You've known one or two in your lifetime that don't always act like that when problems come, and they go right on. Now, you've got some examples around here that do. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, and our pastor tells us the same thing. And you watch him, and you don't know if he's got trouble or if he just hit the jackpot. You don't know if he's feeling like he could cut a flip backwards over a 10-rail fence or if somebody just beat him up with a 10-rail fence. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How you doing, Pastor? Praise God, I'm doing super. All right, you know why? Faith. It's called faith. You believe that even though I might be experiencing some problems right now, I've got a God bigger than the problem. He's already paid the price for the problem. He's already put the money under the plate. Right? And everything is taken care of. All right, I'm showing you what faith looks like. Let me just read another verse or so here. In verse 7 it says that, see, verse 6 says, we greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, you're in heaviness. See, on the inside you're feeling kind of heavy. But your spirit is prevailing over that, and it is causing you to greatly rejoice. And verse 7, that, the trial of your faith, now your faith will get tried. But the Bible says God doesn't do it. God can't be tempted with evil, and he won't tempt you or try you with it. That the trial, there is somebody called the tempter, and it's the devil. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Now you know what you do with gold if you find, don't you? If you want to purify it, if it's got some impurities in it, you got to get it in the fire. Well, you're going to experience some fire. Praise God. You're going to come out of it purer than you went in if you approach it from the Word of God, if you approach it with faith. That though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, when that says the appearing of Jesus Christ, we know there's a time coming when he's going to come back and appear, and he's coming back for the rapture of the church, and then he's going to come back and set up his kingdom here on this earth. But I tell you, there's more to it than that. I tell you, Jesus shows up when you need him. Amen. Right? And when he comes, and I've got a need in my life, I want him to find me looking like I believe the Bible. I want him to find me when the trial of my faith is, I'm in the middle of it, having manifold troubles, and my faith is being tested, being tried with fire. At the appearing of Jesus on the scene, I want to be found unto praise and honor and glory when Jesus shows up at the appearing of Jesus, right? Verse 8, whom and have not seen, you love. How many love the Lord Jesus? Put your hands down. How many have ever seen him in the flesh? Well, how can you love somebody you hadn't seen? Faith. You read about it in the Word, you said, I believe it. I believe he's just like the Word says. And I believe it. And it says, having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. All right? Trouble comes. That's when we get to the verse that talks about it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. When Jesus comes, that's how he's going to find me if I'm in faith. Now, if I'm in doubt, I won't be acting like that. If I am talking faith out of my mouth and quoting scriptures and trying to remember everything Charles Capp said I was supposed to do and trying to remember everything Brother Hagin said I was supposed to do, and I'm trying to do all that, but at the same time, I'm all beat down and moping around. And listen, faith hadn't showed up yet. Faith shows up with greatly rejoicing, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you know, I talk about sometime about this business about rejoicing over in Philippians 4. I'm not going to turn to it right now, but you know it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, right? Well, and I said, some people say, well, I can't rejoice because I can't rejoice because things are going too bad. And I said, look, that's when you need to rejoice. Because R-E means to do it again. And so to rejoice is like the best way to see what rejoicing is all about. Is think about your car, and when do you refuel it? When it's full of gas? Well, I guess I can refuel because my car is full of gas. It's sitting on F here. No, you refuel it when it starts getting down toward E. You say, you know what? I'm about out of fuel. I better refuel. So when you find out that the secret of what God's talking about in Philippians chapter 4 is when you say, you know something? I'm about out of joy. Well, I know what to do about that. I got enough sense to put gas in my car. I got enough sense to do this. Amen. I'm about out of joy. What's the answer? It's time to rejoice. That's the decision you make. Yeah. So you just get to praising God. And I got an, it's so old, it's on the 8-track. It's over there. This is what's the guy's name? Brother, he's been with Brother Hagin for years, older, David Ingalls. I've got an old 8-track of him that says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's right beside that Andre Crouch 8-track. I want to dig it out after I heard those ladies singing Sunday morning. But I used to put that thing back when I could play it, and I had something in my vehicle that would play an 8-track. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? But there was a couple of days I got to feeling kind of down. I'd plug that tape in and get it to going. And it would get to singing, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And first I'd be singing along with it. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit. But I wasn't doing it. But the next thing you know, I'm saying, put on the garment. And I'm slapping my leg and glory to and it didn't even take a whole one time through the song, man. I'm on top of the world. My situation hadn't changed any, but I've just changed. Amen. Right? And then when I get in faith, guess what? That pleases God. Amen. And then when it pleases God, He starts here listening to my prayers and answering them. And when I was acting like I didn't even believe Him anyway, that wasn't no prayer that changes things. Now, this is important what I'm telling you. I hope some of y'all are getting a hold of this. Right? So we're looking here at what faith looks like. So we talked about if you want to pray the prayer that changes things, you have to pray according to the will of God, and you have to pray in faith. And then let me tell you the next thing, pray in the name of Jesus. Any sick among you, call for the elders of the church, they'll anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. Pray the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Look in John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 23. John 16, verse 23. And Jesus says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus said, when you ask something, ask the Father something in my name, it's going to be given to you. Now, there's more. Well, before I say that, let me say something about praying in the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus has a lot of names in the Bible. I mean, his name's Jesus, but when you look at him in the role of the Redeemer, he's part of the Godhead. He's the Redeemer. He's the Lord. And so you look at all these redemptive names of the Lord, Jehovah, and he is Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord, your healer. You need to know that's his name. When you pray in the name of Jesus, and if you're sick, you need to know that's one of His names. In other words, you need to know that that's a role He will fulfill in your life, is to be your healer when you're praying for healing. If you have financial problems in your life, you need to know, in order to pray effectively for your financial problem in the name of Jesus, you need to understand that He is the Lord, your provider, Jehovah Jireh, right? When you don't have any peace in your life, you need to understand that He is, that His name is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, your peace. And I've had times when I've had to say, Lord, I'm trying to work up some peace in this matter, and I can't get any, but the only way I'm going to get any is you're just going to have to put it on me. And He does. Okay? So, there's more to praying in the name of Jesus than just saying the words in the name of Jesus. Now, I like to do that too. There's prayers in the Bible, in the New Testament, where people prayed and they did not end it by saying in the name of Jesus, but they were praying the prayer under the authority of Jesus and in His name. But it's still good. I like the devil to know when I get through praying whose name I'm praying in. Amen. And so it's important. You have to pray in the name of Jesus. When you think about praying the prayer in the name of Jesus, simplest way I know to do it is think about a check. Because I have several here. I've had people, man, I must have gave something away because I've had money coming in. Got about four checks in my billfold. Even my kids has been paying me what they owe me. All right. Of course, I loaned them up more today than they paid back. All of them together paid back. But now I'm down to loaning grandkids money now. But as long as they keep the credit good, they're all right. Right? If they forget who I am, I forget who they are. But now here's one that's written, this is from somebody I know, that's written on First Union Bank and has their name signed down here at the bottom. And it's made out to me. Now I do not have any money in First Union Bank. I got some in another bank, but I don't have a penny of money in First Union Bank. But you know, I can walk right up there at First Union Bank with this check, flop it down on the counter, and fully expect them to cash it if this person's got any money in the bank, and I happen to know these do. And I wouldn't go creeping in there just, well, I don't, you know, I want, I go just walk boldly right up to the counter, say, I want to cash this check. Well, are you Mr. Such and So? I say, no. But I'm hearing his name. I got his name right here on the check. And you know what? They just give me the money. Take the piece of paper, give me the money. This check for $225. This little old piece of paper ain't worth near $225, but the name on it is. Amen? And so this is what I'm telling you about praying in the name of Jesus. You're going because He has authorized you. I tell you, when Jesus said over in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe in My name. I like to read it like that. Some people say, these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. Well, that's good too, but I just like to say, these signs will follow them that believe in My name. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with tongues. If they pick up a serpent and drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You know why I can do that? Because I believe in that name. Just like Peter and John did at the beautiful gate of the temple and said to that crippled man, in the name. In the name, right? Just well, look at that. Where is that? See, that's in Acts chapter 3. Look over at that. Acts chapter 3. And Acts 3 and starting about verse 6, I think. Yeah. You know, they came up to the crippled man at the beautiful gate of the temple. In verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered the temple with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You know how that guy was acting like that? He believed he was healed. But now, this old boy never had walked, been sitting there beside that thing begging for money. And Peter came along, and John said, I don't know if they was plumb broke or not, but I know they said to this man, I don't have no silver and gold for you, but I got what you need. Amen. You know what? If I'd been crippled all my life and couldn't work and had to beg, I'd a whole lot rather be able to jump up all of a sudden and go through the temple leaping and shouting and praising God than I would for somebody to give me $2. Right. Now, everybody in that shape don't have that same opinion. Some of them say, well, you'd ruin my business. You'd ruin my profession. If I got healed, I couldn't beg no more. But no, but I like what Peter did, because he said, this guy been sitting there crippled all of his life. And Peter said, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then what did Peter do? He grabbed a hold of the feller and started pulling him up on his feet. He believed in that name. He believed when you speak in that name, something's supposed to happen. He didn't say, well, if it's God's will now, you'll probably feel a little better tomorrow. Peter had everything I talk about in this prayer. He knew it was the will of God. There wasn't no question in his mind. Because Jesus said, if you believe in my name, you'll lay hands on the sick. He used the name, and then he laid his hands on him and started jerking him to his feet and said, now act on what we just did. Let the power of God work in you. So, old Peter had boldness. I'm going to get to a minute. I don't have time to talk about it long, but you got to pray with boldness. And you have to pray in the name of Jesus, and you pray with faith, and you pray in accordance with the will of God. Every bit of that's right there in what Peter did. Now, he wasn't literally praying, but he was incorporating all those same principles even in speaking the Word of God to a situation and saying, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. Be healed. All right? So you pray in the name of Jesus. Now, you know, it's not just saying the words. Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe my name. There was one place where he gave the disciples authority to cast out devils and heal sickness and all that in his name. So Jesus, in effect, has given us a power of attorney to use his name. All right? So now, praying in the name of Jesus, that's part of what it's all about. Now, my wife, for example, has a full power of attorney to transact business for her mother. She can go draw money out of her bank account. She can do whatever. Just sign her name. She's got a document that says you have the authority to sign for her. And Jesus, every once in a while when I'm praying, I thank the Lord for that. I say, Jesus, I want to thank you that you gave me a power of attorney to use your name. Now, in the name of Jesus, body, I'm talking to you. Right? I tell you, my body's used to hearing that name. If old Peter can talk to that crippled man sitting there never had walk, now he can get up and walk. Well, when old Jim's having a little problem, something ain't working just right in this body, I like to use that name on it. Amen. I say, Jesus is Lord over my body. Right. And in the name of Jesus right now, body, I'm telling you that you're going to have to function normally. And you know what? I found out that rascal will get in line with the Word of God and knows you're talking business. So you have to, you know, it's the will of God. You have to pray in faith. Well, if you know it's the will of God, faith will come. And you have to, you're in the name of Jesus. He gave me authority to use that name. Gave me full power of attorney. And then the other thing, we talked about praying in the name of Jesus. And then I already told you what the last one's going to be, and it's praying with boldness. And I'm going to conclude with this. Won't take but a few more minutes. But in Hebrews chapter 4, just well look at that. You got to pray with boldness. While you're finding it, you know, it's not just saying the words, the name of Jesus, because you remember, don't you? I'm not going to look at it tonight, but it's over in Acts chapter 19, the seven sons of Sceva, and how they've been watching what was going on, and so fellers start saying, well, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, they commanded some devils to come out. They did. They came out and jumped on them, beat them up, and tore their clothes off. So it's not just saying the words in the name of Jesus. When you go using that name, you better be going in the name of Jesus. You see, if somebody else tries to take this check I had here and it's made out to me and it's signed by somebody else, and they take it up to First Union Bank and say, I want to cash this check. Well, are you Mr. Such and So talking about here, the fella that signed it? No. Well, but That's all right, but are you Jim Howard, the feller's made out to? No, I'm not him either. Well, you can't have no money. Why? They had the name on the check in the name of Jesus or in the name of whoever made the check out, but he hadn't authorized them to go get the money. And see, that's part of going in the name of Jesus. Not only have I got to be, he gave the name, but besides that, I've got to be authorized by him to be using the name. Pray with boldness now. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Listen, I know this is all old stuff. Y'all heard this 15 or 20 times about how to pray. Are you bored yet? Okay, good. I was hoping you'd cheer me up and say that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Because Brother John Miller used to tell us, we are a people who need to be reminded. We know things and then we just let them slide and forget about them. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're talking about praying with boldness. You know, when you understand that Jesus, your high priest, is has passed into the heavens, he is sitting there at the right hand of God to intercede for you as your high priest, and yet you understand that he's a high priest, which it says he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It says we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched, but he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, he understands what we're dealing with. You know why? Because he was tempted in all the points that we are. He's dealt with what we're dealing with. He didn't give in to it, but he understands the pressure. And therefore, even though he didn't give in to it, he understands when we do. He knows the pressure we're dealing with. You know what? I'm glad that my background is sinner. I'm glad I wasn't born saved. Now, just for me personally, it would have been nice if I'd have been born saved. But if I'd been born saved and never had sinned all my life or never had even been tempted, I had never even been tempted to do nothing wrong, I could not minister to you because I wouldn't understand you bunch of sorry people. But since I am one of you, right? Since I have one of you, I understand, right? I got a heart for these teenagers. You know why? I used to be one. And in fact, the body's looking older, but he still lives on the inside of me. I got a button I wear once in a while that says I refuse to grow up. All right? But when you've been through some things, you can understand folks that are going through them. And that's why I can go in prayer no matter what I've done, no matter what I need, no matter what my problems are. I can walk right up to the throne of God's grace. Now, it used to be under the Old Testament, if you tried that, you'd drop dead. But God opened the curtain up for me and said, come on in, the price has been paid. And I can walk right up to the throne of God's grace and obtain mercy. I can boldly approach the throne of God's grace and obtain mercy. Now, the first thing you get when you go there is mercy. That means you're in trouble. That means you've done something that ain't right, or you wouldn't need mercy. You don't need mercy when you've done everything 100% right. You know, and I've never had too much feeling that I could boldly walk up to that throne of grace and they say, well, here I am, Lord. I deserve it. Let me have it. I don't want him to let me have what I deserve. See, and that's what mercy is. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Mercy is him not giving you what you do deserve, right?
That's right.
And so, but I can boldly come to the throne of God's grace and get me some, first of all, mercy. And then not only that, but he gives me a load of grace to help in time of need. And grace is the operational power of God, and grace is what will get the job done for you. It is by grace that you are saved. Through faith. Not by works, lest any man should boast. All right, we're talking about you have to pray with boldness. You know, I'm not going to go and read all this scripture. It's in Luke 11 because I need to quit. But you remember the thing about the lady that came to the place at midnight and she had company show up and she needed some bread. And so she knocked on the door and said, you know, the fella said, don't bother me now. Me and my children's already in the bed. She said, well, I've had guests show up and I need some bread. Get away from here and don't bother me. But then she just kept on coming. And finally he got up and gave her some bread. It says in the King James, it says because of her importunity. Well, now that some people think that word means if you pester God long enough, he'll finally answer you. But the word is really a word for boldness. She wouldn't give up. She just kept on coming. She knew that this... But see, that parable doesn't really say this actually happened like that. It said, would a man, if he had a neighbor, do such and so? And then the conclusion is, no, he wouldn't. Even a human being. You see, I don't like to be bothered when I'm sleeping. And so I'm not in a very good line of work. But I don't like to be bothered when I'm sleeping. I never have. I go to sleep, I'm going to leave me alone in the morning. But y'all feel free to call if you have a problem. But make sure you got a problem or you're going to have one. All right? Now, but if any one of you called me at 2 o'clock in the morning and you did have a problem, and you said, listen, I hate to call you this time of the night, but something has come up here and I have got to have some help and I have got to have it now. I'm not going to say, don't bother me. Me and my wife's already in the bed. I'm going to say, I'll be there. Or you come here and get whatever you need. I'm going to take care of you. And that's what the Lord was showing. Even our friends, even our human friends wouldn't turn us down if we're bold. But see, it don't mean you have to keep pestering people all night. It means if you are bold enough to call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, then praise God, I'm going to give you what you need. Right? And so we pray in the will of God. We pray in faith. We pray in the name of Jesus. And we pray with boldness. I want you to look at Acts chapter 4 right quick. It won't take me just a couple minutes. Acts 4. And I'm just going to look right quick at an example of a good prayer here. Acts 4, starting at verse 24. Acts 4, starting at verse 24. This is after Peter and John been down the beautiful gate of the temple. They healed a crippled man. They got in trouble for it. They were taken before the Sanhedrin. They told them, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. You can't preach no more in the name of Jesus. The Supreme Court said so. You can't take your Bible to school. You know, they told Daniel, you can't pray to no God but the false God over here, the king. Old Daniel threw the window open and prayed so everybody out in the street could hear him. All right? I mean, he didn't just do one of them little, well, Father. No, man, he just opened the window and folks outside heard him praying. But they told these guys, you can't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Verse 24, they went back to their own company. Thank God for the company I keep, as Brother Hagin says. And I wouldn't give anything for a good church to be a part of. I know if I had a problem, man, I know some folks that know how to pray. And verse 24 says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice. See, Peter came back and reported to them what them folks said. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. I tell you, it's important for the church to get in agreement when you're praying. And said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and so forth. And I'm not going to... So the first thing you do is start talking about how great God is. Our God can do anything. He made the heaven and the earth. Lord, this ain't too big for you. We know what you've done already. And it says, verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said. And then they start quoting scripture to God. Well, now, what did I tell you? If you want to pray in the will of God, pray the word of God. Prosecco me, a word for prayer. What does it mean? Say back to God what he's already said to you. The best prayer you'll pray is when you're telling God what the word says. He said, put me in remembrance of my word. And that's what these fellows are doing. They honoring God for how great he is, then they begin to speak the word back to him. And it says in I'll just go on down to verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, there's boldness, they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. All right? They're specific. They tell God specifically what they want. It's in line with the Word of God because they quoted Him some Scripture. It's in line with the will of God, therefore. They're praying in faith. They really believe it's going to happen. They're specific. They're telling God exactly what they want. And they're bold, and they ended up praying in the name of Jesus. They say that it may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. I'll tell you what, I'm talking about how to pray a prayer that changes things. This is one of them church-shaking prayers. It's one of them house-shaking prayers these old boys prayed. And you look at, I had to rush through it, but I'll tell you, just get over in Acts 4, about verse 20. Even you can start earlier than that, verse 24. And just look over that prayer and apply it to what you've learned as we've talked about how to pray the prayer that changes things. All right, I'm going to close there. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.